Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
So the ACLU and a local attorney in town here had filed two petitions to refer the heartbeat bill to the people at the next general election. But when the heartbeat bill was passed, the legislature, through legislative findings in the bill, found that that law was necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety. And according to our Constitution, if the legislature passes an emergency clause through the constitutional method requiring two-thirds vote of both chambers of the legislature, then the law goes into effect before the normal 90 days after the legislature.
That is Secretary of State Ashcroft there explaining why he didn't end up approving ballot language for a referendum on the heartbeat bill until this week. And the ACLU announced yesterday that they will not make an effort to gather petitions because they don't believe they have enough time to get the, what was it, 100,000?
100,000 signatures.
Signatures in about a two-week period. The heartbeat bill goes into full effect on the 28th of this month, and they're now blaming Jay Ashcroft's a position on abortion for his delay. And he denies that. He says it's part of the law because a portion of it was immediately put into law and the challenge didn't come until afterwards. Missouri law says you can't do that. And that's, he said, that's what caused this delay, as the research was done and then finally approving the ballot language. So anyway, regardless of the reason, what they're going to have to do now is they said they'll focus their efforts on turning people out for the 2020 election.
Yes, yes.
So in case you were just catching up this morning, that's the announcement on the heartbeat bill. It goes into effect coming up here, in about 2 weeks, it looks like. A good morning to you. Happy Friday. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Good morning and happy Friday.
Yeah, it's good. It's good Friday.
It is.
The president was having a good time.
It's not good Friday, but it is a good Friday.
No. A little late in the year for
that. A dad joke.
A little late in the year for that.
That was a Mark joke. My bad.
Well, are we going to get the crickets or not? Hold on. Because I'm getting kind of used to that. Can I just tell you?
Wee!
Thank you. Wee. Yeah, thanks. Lots going on today, primarily in the financial world, because there's been, you know, the market's back up today. Look at that. Dow futures back up. 2 days ago, they told you the world was coming to an end. The sky was falling. That hasn't happened. The president's concentrating on fixing this trade deal with China, and that's where the focus has to be right now. Go to Cut 26. The president talked about it last night when he was on the road up in New Hampshire.
The United States right now has the hottest economy anywhere in the world. We're rebuilding that awesome might that we were just talking about, our United States Armed Forces. America is working again, America is winning again, and America is respected again, respected like never before.
There you have it. 12,000 people, I almost said 14, 12,000 people showed up to that event last night for President Trump. Elizabeth Warren showed up, and the headline says, Elizabeth Warren draws crowds of 200. That's a local headline from WMUR Channel 9 up in New Hampshire. So they're both in New Hampshire. One draws 12,000. The other draws several hundred. I take that back. 700, it says here, is what she drew, compared to 12,000. I love, you know, this morning, a couple big stories that I heard on Fox News at the top of the hour, and I saw them on the network news this morning as well. Number one, Fox News did a poll that shows all four of the top presidential candidates for president for the Democrats beating President Trump in a hypothetical matchup right now.
Yep.
And I would very quickly, if I were you, before you go to work and have to have a water cooler talk with the, you know, left-wing wacko in the office, point out the fact, just Google search it, that the poll taken two nights before the election in November of 2016 showed Hillary Clinton with a 12-point lead and was definitely going to be the next president of the United States. And fortunately, those the words president and Hillary have never gone together as
That's
a result
true.
Of that, unless she was with her husband. So don't just why this is even a thing, I don't know. But the left and the media, in many cases in this country, are clamoring for some evidence that the Democrats have a shred of hope. Here's the other story they put out this morning. Guess where this one came from? CNN. President is panicking, it says here. If the economy falls apart, it's hard to see how President Trump wins re-election. Republicans are worried. A recession is what could keep Trump off the list of two-term presidents. It's almost like they're willing it to be so.
Oh, that would make them super happy. Although, is Trump in trouble if the economy tanks? I'm not saying it's
going
to
help. I mean, it's not going to help. People vote their wallets.
But so in trouble that we'd vote in like a Bernie Sanders?
Well, I don't know. You know, I thought the president, he kind of made that point last night when he told people up at this speech that you don't really have a choice. That you have to vote for me because the economy is going to go to hell in a handbasket is effectively what he said last night. So in case you missed it, I just thought I'd point that out. There's no doubt that, you know, if a bullfrog had wings, it wouldn't bump its butt. If the economy did a 2007 tumble tomorrow, would it hurt Donald Trump's reelection chances? Absolutely. But there's no indication that's going to happen.
Right.
Nobody's even said that's going to happen. But CNN has to latch on to some reason that would doom this president's In fact, they're kind of admitting that may be the only thing that would doom his reelection chances.
No, I get where you're going with that. I'm just thinking like crowds of 12,000. He's like a rock star. If something like that happens, where does that land the supporters?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will. I don't want it to. I don't think it will.
It just gives more energy to the other side, I think, if something like that happens. Yeah. Here's the other thing. Let me read you this headline. Trump shock. U.S. president plans to buy world's largest island in Europe, Greenland. That's the headline in the Express newspaper in the U.K. this morning. Shock. That Donald Trump, here's the story, in case you've listened to it on the network and you're freaking out. Here's the story. Donald Trump apparently had a conversation with one of his advisors and asked, would it be possible for us to buy Greenland from the Danes? It's like a Danish territory. And he asked the question. And this is the headline this morning. Trump shock. U.S. president wants to buy Greenland. Trump shows interest in buying Greenland. That's on Bloomberg. But Denmark won't sell. Trump has asked aides about the possibility of the U.S. acquiring Greenland. That's in the Hill. They're all in shock and awe over this. And if you go to the story, CNN buried it. Last line. Two previous U.S. administrations have looked into buying Greenland. Two. Harry Truman wanted to buy Greenland. And a U.S. Secretary of State in 1867 looked into buying Greenland. This is not unprecedented. It's not even news. Why is it a headline? Why is it a shock?
The shock part isn't a headline.
It's still a news story, but it's not a, you know.
It'd be a big deal if we acquired that land. It doesn't have to be a scandal.
Right. But the point is the media is playing it up like it's a surprise that the president would privately have talked about purchasing Greenland.
Now, it's like they're making it a joke.
If he wanted to personally
isn't.
Purchase right. it and rename it Trump Land and put a Trump
be,
Tower
on
it,
that'd be a joke.
That would be newsworthy.
That would
in
be
my
shocking.
Opinion. That's what they're focusing.
Well, and it's almost like that's how they're sensationalizing it because that's where they want your mind to go. You know,
yeah.
they,
right.
they
well,
want
that's,
you
yeah,
to
that's,
think
that's
that.
That's kind of my point.
The headline, yeah.
But can you do you agree that it's still newsworthy?
Well, I mean, it's interesting, but. You know, at the top of the hour here, and I'll go ahead and pick on Fox because Fox News Radio runs our news. At the top of the hour, they have, what, 2 or 3 minutes to do national headlines. People are protesting in the streets in Hong Kong. We've got people shooting police in Philadelphia. We've got all kinds of national news going on, including what's going on in the economy. And they chose to waste 30 or 40 seconds of their newscast to tell us that the president of the United States might have talked to one of his aides privately about purchasing Greenland. As a journalist, you're taught to stack things in order of importance. This is not in the top 20 or 30 of important things in the country today. So my point is they've only done it because they want to make it seem like Donald Trump is somehow nuts to consider wanting to buy Greenland. Greenland is a big chunk of ice, but it's strategic because we have a military base there, Thule Base, I think it's called, Air Force Base. And it's been there since the 50s, and we use it to detect ICBMs and other defense. There's plenty of reasons that we could use Iceland. I mean, it's not quite the equivalent of the Louisiana Purchase, but it's certainly not ridiculous to suggest it. And that's kind of the trend, that, particularly on CNN, some of the other outlets, the way they've reported it. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, if they're taking that tone, but if I'm going to work, I want to know that he's talking about that. So I'm.
Why do you care?
Because other people know that he's like that's a big deal. Like if our president's going to buy a different country,
he's not buying a. Yeah. Like he's buying a territory.
Okay, if our president wants to acquire a territory, I at least want to know that's going on.
Oh, no, great. Odin's raven.
I don't want to position him as a crazy
person. It's
just
regular information, just like anything else that he could be.
I will continue to call out the mainstream media when they do things where they bury the lead. If two previous administrations have looked into doing the same thing,
that's not being a story.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's
still a story, is all I'm saying. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, he's a crazy person. Like, it's not like we have to be defensive of Donald Trump.
Well, I think there's probably some collusion involved there somewhere.
Right.
I think
getting into the whole, like, maybe.
I think 10,000 years ago, some Russians lived in Greenland, and now he wants to buy it and repopulate it with Russians.
Now you're
who
giving
could
them
then
ideas.
Vote
Here
in
we
the
go.
Next election.
Let me grab my tin hat.
Don't you think? That's got to be it. It's got to be more to it than that.
A man never stands so tall as when he stoops to kiss a butt.
I'm just telling you.
That's okay, baby.
You see what I have to put up with around here.
Oh, boy.
You see what I have to put up with around here.
You just make it too easy sometimes.
He just walks right into these things.
I want you to hear what Bernie Sanders had to say yesterday about the United States declining or cutting off aid to Israel because they didn't want Omar and Tlaib to visit. If you haven't heard the story, go to cut number 5.
The idea that a member of the United States Congress cannot visit a nation, which, by the way, we support to the tune of billions and billions of dollars, is clearly an outrage. And if Israel doesn't want members of the United States Congress to visit their country to get a firsthand look at what's going on, and I've been there many, many times. But if he doesn't want members to visit, maybe he can respectfully decline the billions of dollars that we give to Israel.
Yeah, so he wants to cut off aid to Israel because they didn't want to let a couple of folks in who are avid supporters of this BDS movement, which is the divestive movement in Israel. They want to boycott Israel. And Israel said, no, we have a law against that. You can't come here and encourage that kind of activity. We're joined right now by Joseph Pinion. He is a GOP strategist, and he's been looking at this issue this morning. Joe, welcome into the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Good to have you on here. This whole thing, has been overblown. I thought Benjamin Netanyahu explained this pretty clearly.
I mean, look, I think for any person who is not trying to spin this or promote a narrative, this is pretty obvious. I think that, yes, they're members of Congress, but Israel reserves the right to say that if you don't believe in our right to exist, we do not have to roll out a red carpet and welcome you. So I think that when you talk about the essence of the BDS movement, I've said it many times, to me, boycotting, divesting of Israel is economic bigotry, clear and simple. And if people don't understand that, that if you're literally saying that nobody in the world should engage in commerce with this country, if you're comparing the Jewish state of Israel, founded to escape subjugation, founded to escape extermination, if you're comparing that nation to Nazi Germany, if you're sitting here, you know, as Congresswoman Omar has done, and comparing the history of America to the history of Al-Qaeda, you know, I think at some point people have to realize that they might be trying to dress this thing up and make it seem like a harmless boycott. That is not what this is about. This is about a virulent strand of anti-Semitic thought that has existed in the Democratic Party for two decades now.
Yeah, that's an interesting point of view on it. I mean, people need to understand where the whole BDS movement came from. It's got a lot to do with a two-state solution in the Middle East and the, you know, Palestinians maybe redrawing some borders over there, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to a fundamental issue of people not seeming to understand that if you divide the state of Israel, then you have weakened the state of Israel. That if you have literally taken an entire nation where people have literally made it their lifelong dream to try to drive the people of Israel into the sea. I mean, that's what Israel is trying to protect against at the end of the day, in the crudest of terms. And so, again, I think I think it's encouraging when you see Congresswoman Tlaib, again, allowed to enter the nation for humanitarian purposes to see her aging grandmother. I think, again, shows the compassion of Israel, shows the fact that, again, this is not from an ideological standpoint, but simply saying that we are not going to admit people to our country who are asking people around the world to engage in a practice that hurts our nation and endangers our people, pure and simple.
Yeah.
It should be easy to understand, and yet somehow people have tried to act as if somehow it's racist because the people advocating it are brown, as if somehow that again, the Jewish people are not an oppressed people and have not dealt with unimaginable subjugation over the history of the world. So, I think we just have to focus on the facts. The facts are you can't go to someone's house and start breaking all the windows. And that's simply what Israel is talking about.
I love the way you put that. Joseph Pinion, my guest right now. You know, I've got a good friend who lives in Jerusalem. And, in fact, he's going to come in and be on the show next week. And he talks all the time about the fact that within Jerusalem, Arabs and Jews coexist. They have businesses together. They do all this stuff. It's the outside world that has a different view of that. And Rashida Tlaib she's one of those individuals who's been very active in promoting disunion in that section of the world.
Yeah, I mean, let's be very clear. I mean, from the day they've gotten in office, I mean, they've basically been waging war against the existence of the Jewish state and then criticizing anybody who criticizes them on policy grounds as a racist simply because they happen to be minorities. And I can say as a minority myself that, look, just because you're a minority doesn't mean that you're immune to any type of scrutiny on your opinions. I'm a Republican. People criticize my position all the time. The harder issue that we have to deal with right now is simply getting people to understand that if everything is racist, then nothing's racist. And the Democratic Party has simply, to me, I call it R-squared, right? They want to yell recession now, and they want to yell racism. And they're going to keep yelling recession and racism all the way to Election Day. And so American people should not allow themselves to be distracted from the facts. The facts are that, again, there are 6 million jobs that didn't exist before Donald Trump took office. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, America does have this tangled web in history with the issue of race. But at the end of the day, if you can't recognize the progress that we've made as a nation, then obviously what people are trying to put before you is a load of bunk.
Yeah, amen. And JoePinion.com is the website where you can find out more about Joseph. And I tell you what, keep up the good fight, because I see you've done a lot of appearances on CNN. I don't know how you handle that.
Well, you know, I always say the running joke is, where do you hide a black Republican on CNN? The answer is the 11 o'clock hour at Don Lemon's. So, but, you know, but we,
that's
you know,
great.
But, like, the hardworking people over there, and like I said, it's always good to be over there and fight the conservative principle.
Joseph Pinion, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much.
Yeah,
have a good one.
Have a good morning. I appreciate that. Good stuff there. All right. I tell you what, coming up, we've got Sheriff Bill Wayburn joining us, Tarrant County, Texas sheriff, talking about the situation they're facing down there in his state, including the fallout from that shooting in El Paso. In the next hour, we'll talk to the Fox Business Channel folks about what's going on with the economy. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
He said, "You're a rhino." I said, "No, sir. I'm not a rhino.
A Republican corrected. In name only."
I said, I simply corrected the misinformation you were given by our attorney general, and that's all I did.
What did he say?
He just kind of grinned.
That's the mayor of El Paso. And talking about his interaction with President Trump. Anything they can do to get a dig in on the president. And it doesn't matter what he does, where he goes, what he says. That's... The world we live in these days, they're just so desperate. Trump derangement syndrome is raging across the media in this world. There's no doubt about it. All right. You know, if you saw the news yesterday, you saw part of the coverage on this autopsy of Jeffrey Epstein, which I thought was pretty fascinating. I've talked to so many people in law enforcement on this, and they all have an opinion on it. And right now, my friend is Sheriff Bill Wayburn joining us again. He is the sheriff down in Tarrant County, Texas. We've had the sheriff on to talk about immigration issues and things like that before. And welcome back to the program, Sheriff. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning, Mark, and it's exciting to be with you
well,
always.
Glad that we could get you on the phone this morning. You have an interesting point of view on this whole story about Jeffrey Epstein and how this whole thing went down. What is it?
Well, I think that, you know, we're at the 15th largest jail, and suicide watch is always something, or people who are going to hurt themselves is always something that we're watching very carefully for and closely to. And, of course, I don't know all the interactions in the New York thing, and I know now there's some suspicion with some of the breakage of bones, but that still can happen, you know, if he had been in that fight earlier and they missed it, or if someone had assaulted him. And missed it when he claimed that he was assaulted or that they thought he'd tried to commit suicide. So there's some things missing that we don't know about yet. But one of the things is that when people hang themselves, they can break things. And that's what we've got to figure out and where that happened at. And there's still a lot of layers to peel back.
Well, hopefully, you know, they're seriously looking at this. I think the Department of Justice is serious about it because it appears that a lot of standard procedures were simply ignored with one of the most high-profile, he wasn't an inmate, really. I mean, he was just being held there. He hadn't even gone to trial yet. I mean, if you had someone like that in your jail, wouldn't they get a little extra attention?
Absolutely, they would, and we have had people similar, not near that high profile in jail, and what we do is we isolate them, or if we have them in isolation, we're going to have eyes on at all times. And I think that one of the things that I did hear out of this, and it's absolutely true, and whether it's in St. Louis or New York or even in Texas, is that we do have a challenge attracting people to become detention officers. It's a very noble profession, and it's truly people standing between evil and good. And I think that they're probably having the same problem in New York. But nevertheless, you figure out how to keep eyes on and put this person under a camera and watch 24/7. And we've done that. We've isolated people where we can literally have somebody watching them 24/7. And that might have been what they should have been doing with Jeffrey. Because I think, you know, I think if somebody's intending to kill themselves, it's hard to stop them, but you can do a lot. You can do 99% of the good work up front to make sure you can prevent it.
Yeah, I believe that completely, and I think correctly, heads are going to roll, so to speak, over how this went down. It's complete mismanagement, it sounds to me like. You know, Sheriff, I wanted to change gears here for a minute and talk about the shooting that happened down there in El Paso. you know, the left in this country, when it comes to their attitude toward guns, is ban, 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 restrict, restrict, restrict. We got to do this. It doesn't matter what the situation is. They find a way to twist it into an excuse for some sort of a weapons ban or some new gun law. What's your take on, I mean, obviously what happened down there is a tragedy, but it was committed by somebody who was insane. I mean, you would have to be nuts to open fire on people. You become a criminal at that point.
You're absolutely correct. And people do react to this. We're going to go take the guns away from people. We've had mass killers around for 150 years. And, you know, I would say, well, you know, the last fatality accident that we had, I didn't have anybody out saying we've got to ban 70-mile-an-hour speed limits. We got to put governors on Corvettes that they can't go over 45 because we know speed kills. It's funny how they react to think that the gun is the problem instead of the person. And there's two different focuses there. And I heard that Senator Harris said that she would sign an executive order to seize all assault weapons, and I thought she will start a war internal in this country if she tries to do that. And so I would caution the left to slow down, because any time that they are trying to take away rights or they're trying to pin in our gun rights, people are going to rise up, and that's going to cause fury.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. That, you know, Kirsten Gillibrand, who's, by the way, visiting St. Louis on a Sunday of this week, this weekend, talking about abortion rights, I guess. She doesn't like the law we just passed here in Missouri. She has talked about a mandatory buyback, and I compared it to my car. If you tell me that you want to buy my car and I tell you no, then you tell me it's mandatory, that's called confiscation.
I agree with you. Is that is just backdoor compensation. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know how they get around that, but they need to seriously consider that. Sheriff, one more thing before you go. Yesterday, we talked to one of our local state legislators who'd been down to Texas. He was at a conference down near the border and was able to take a tour with the Border Patrol and go through some of the holding facilities down there. I think even went up in a helicopter and flew along the border. We've gotten a little better handle, I understand, in the last month on people coming into the country illegally, but you're in a border state. I mean, you're a law enforcement officer down there. How critical is this issue still for you?
It's extremely critical. You know, we have 4,200 people in jail in Tarrant County this morning, and 8% of those people are going to be illegal aliens that have created heinous crimes in Tarrant County. And while I think Mexico and Guatemala have both done a pretty good job of slowing the flow down, we still need to do more to make sure that we secure that border. Because these days, you know, these immigrants that are fleeing this devastation of their former country where they're getting away from violence and gangs and all that, the gangs are following them in, and that's the people that we have in jail. And a lot of people don't understand that the people that we're putting detainers on are the people they were trying to flee from in the first place.
Right.
So it's still a crisis, and we still, even though I think Mexico and Guatemala has done a better job than our Congress of securing that border, we still need to secure the border.
That's a great point. Sheriff Bill Wayburn from Tarrant County, Texas, at Bill Wayburn on Twitter. Sheriff, we always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Y'all have a great day.
You too, sir. Thank you very much. Love that accent. Isn't that great? Just
yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeehaw.
I can just envision him down there in a cowboy hat.
Me too.
Yep.
Boots. Yeah, that's it. 314-241-9797. Next hour, we'll get to your phone calls here. Next hour, we're going to talk about a great opportunity you have coming up. You know, I'd say it'd be rare if there are many of us whose lives haven't been touched by Alzheimer's, by memory loss. There's an effort coming up that you can contribute to that it will help find a cure for that one of these days. We'll tell you about that at about 8:48. Stick around.
Whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Is that how it works?
That's it. Because you don't have any choice. We're going to go down the toilet like Venezuela. The hell do you have to lose? I think that's pretty much it. Hey, Steve, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to point something out to people, and they can point this to their water cooler buddies whenever they go to work in the morning. The poll that matters is the one on election day.
Yeah.
And from what I seem to remember, now my brain might be a little bit off because I'm a little bit older now. I do believe recalling that last time around, Hillary Clinton had it one sewn in a bag and everything else. They should take, turn around, Fox even included in this, should take a visual poll, look and see how many people are showing up for whoever's rallies, and look and say, you know, there's 12,000 people showing up for Trump, a couple hundred people showing up for Warren. How in God's name can they legitimately say that Elizabeth Warren then turns around and beats Donald Trump? People aren't showing up to his rallies and say, okay, I was there, now I'm not going to vote for him. That's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that, Steve. There's an enthusiasm factor that's ignored in these polls. It always has been. It's been that way with Trump from the beginning. I appreciate the call, my friend. You can't ignore that. When's the last time you got a call as part of a poll asking you if the election were held today for president, who would you vote for? Who are they calling? Are they calling cell phones? Are they calling home phones? My home phone rings off the hook with pollsters, usually state issues. I haven't gotten a national call. I don't know who they're polling. But again, Hillary had a 12-point lead the night before the election in 2016. I'm just saying, just ignore these polls that you're hearing right now. Silly talk. That's what it is. We'll get to more of your phone calls coming up. We'll talk about these recession fears as well. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.